You are invited to the 65th Annual Bethany Baptist Church Spiritual Revival and Missions Conference on August 3rd and August 5th through the 10th. Our keynote speaker will be Reverend Alan Parr Jr., creator of the YouTube ministry The Beat, which stands for Biblical Encouragement and Truth. Plan to join us and be blessed by the Word of God, uplifting praise and worship, and awesome missionary testimonies. We know that you will be encouraged in your faith. For information, visit the Bethany Baptist Church website, bethanybaptist-pgh.org, or call the church office at 412-242-3255. Thank you.
Welcome to Encode in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Hell, Part 1. So let's join Glaze for the conclusion of Hell, Part 1.
Now, here goes a recent one that I heard, and so I threw this one in here. And it's called conditionalism. And what this says is after an unsaved person dies, his soul goes to a place of temporary torment. The body and soul are resurrected at the great white throne and sentenced to judgment proportionate to their sins. After suffering according to their sins, the person is destroyed and ceases to exist. So this is a little different. We looked at this other one up here called annihilationism, which says that a person becomes annihilated, all right? Well, this one right here says that before you become annihilated, that you pay for your sins, that you go to a place of judgment and you pay for your sins. And then after you pay for your sins, then you are destroyed, that you cease to exist. So the difference between this and annihilationism would say that when you die, that you cease to exist. But this one says that you live on until you pay for your sins, and then you cease to exist. And so the scripture that they use to support it, again, not that we agree with this, but the scripture they use to support it is they say the unsaved will experience the second death, Revelation 20:14. The loss will be forever destroyed, 2 Thessalonians 1:9. And those who die without Christ perish or cease to exist. So again, let's be clear on this one. It says that after you die, that you go and you pay for your sins. And then after you pay for them, then you cease to exist. And so again, we look at Jesus. He said that people go into eternal punishment. People go into eternal punishment. And then Jude described people who undergo the punishment of eternal fire. So I'm saying all this to say that these are some things that people use to try to escape the realities of hell. They try to soften it, but you can't soften it. You can't soft soap it. You got to spoon feed it. And you have to give it like it is. Now let's look at what is the purpose of hell? What is the purpose of hell? You know, why did God even create hell? All right. It is a place where people who don't want to be with God go. You will say, who in the world does not want to be with God? Well, let me give you three groups of people that don't want to be with God, right? Here's three groups of people that don't want to be. So this kind of knocks in the head this idea of, well, you know, how can a loving God let somebody go to hell? God is not letting anybody go to hell. He provided a way out. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, so that we don't have to go to hell. So here's three groups of people that don't want to be with God. Why would God, now come on, think about this. Think about this. Why would God make somebody come be with him that don't want to be with him, right? That makes no sense. And so the atheists don't want to be with God because they don't even per se believe in God. The fool have said in his heart, there is no God. So why would God make somebody come to be with him that don't even believe in him. You know, come on, man. You know, we need to use common sense here. Sometimes this is not even spiritual sense. This is not even theological sense. This is just common sense. Why would God, how could a loving God let somebody go to heaven? I mean, go to hell? Because people don't want to be with him. If you are that determined that you don't believe in God, then God is not going to make you come with him. The heathen don't want to be with God. The scripture is very clear about this in Psalm 2, verses 1 through 3. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of this earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and let us cast their cords from us. Look at the heathen. The heathen rage, right? And not only do they rage, but look what it says. They set themselves against. They turn their face to God. They shake their fist in the face of God. And notice what they say. Let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords away. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of like a college student, right? When they first leave home and they go to live in the dorm. And, you know, there's nobody there, no parent there to, you know, see what time they come in at night. No parent there to hold them accountable. And, you know, I'm not saying everybody now, so don't, I'm not broad brushing. I'm not saying everybody. I have to say this because sometimes people think I'm talking about everybody. You know, I'm talking about some college students. Pastor Glaze might have been one of those. So I'm gonna throw myself in that group, right? Where, you know, all the rules and regulations that you had to live by while you were in your parents' house, right? You cast them off. You know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't have to do this anymore. So you cast off the bands. You cast off the guidelines, the regulations, the rules. And that's what it says that the heathen do. That the heathen, they don't want God's chains on their life. They don't want God's chain on their life to tell them, you know, they can't go out and get drunk. They don't want God's change on their life to tell them they can't go out and commit fornication and adultery. They don't want God's chain on their life to tell them that they have to live a certain lifestyle. They don't, you know, they let us break his bands asunder. Let us break his bands asunder. We don't want his chains on us. So let me ask you, why would God make this person go to heaven and be with him? If he don't want to be with him here on this earth, why would God make him go when they die? So it's a place for where people go who don't want to be with God. You know, those individuals that don't want to be with God. And then the natural man. Well, who is the natural man? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man basically is the unsaved man. And notice this, that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. And look at this. They are what? Foolishness. The things of God are foolishness. Let's praise the Lord. Let's sing praise and worship songs. I don't want to do that. That's foolish. Well, what are you going to do in heaven? What are you going to do in heaven? You're going to sing praise and worship songs. That's foolishness, right? Well, let's serve God. Let's live for the Lord. Well, that's foolishness. Well, why would God make that person want to come with him if that's foolishness to him? Let's read the word of God. Let's pray. Let's fellowship with the people of God. Oh, man, that's just a bunch of foolishness. Well, if it's foolishness, why would God make you to come and be with him in heaven, right? So again, you know, what is the purpose of hell? It's a place where people go who don't want to be with God, right? If you don't want to be with God, God's not going to make you be with him. Another thing, it's a place where people go to pay for their sins. Thank God, Amen. I can't see everybody on this Zoom call, but there ought to be a bunch of shouting going on right now. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid for the sins of mankind. When a person receives him as their Lord and Savior, their sins are forgiven. Jesus took the punishment for their sins on the cross. Our sins have been paid for. Your sins have already been paid for. That's shouting grounds of me, you know, to know that I don't have to pay for my sins. But people who don't know Christ, who have not accepted him, they have to pay for their own sins. And so those who die without Christ will have to spend an eternity paying for their sins. Revelation 20, verses 10 through 15. So what is the purpose of hell? It is a place where people go who don't want to be with God. It is a place where people go to pay for their sins. It is a place that was created for the devil and his angels. What is the purpose of hell? It was created for the devil and his angels. When the devil was kicked out of heaven, he took one third of the angels with him. When this happened, God created a special place for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:14. That's where that verse is found. Hell is a place created for the devil and his angels. So just keep in mind the three purposes of hell. All right. Know that. You know, again, people don't want to talk about this stuff, man. You know, people are dying every day. And they're dying without Christ. And they're going somewhere. They're either going to heaven or they're going to hell. You know, there's no neutral place. There's no in-between place. Now, again, this is what the Bible says. So you can go back and believe some of these other theories to appease your conscience, right? Because you don't want to believe in hell. You can believe in universalism, right? You can believe in annihilationism. You can believe in purgatorialism. And you can believe in conditionalism, right? And those are all theories that have been made by man to lessen the blow, to say that, you know, a loving God could not sentence someone to suffer eternally in a place called hell, all right? So, yeah, so keep that in mind. And then keep in mind the purpose of hell. You know, it's a place where people who don't want to go with him go. It's a place where people go to pay for their sins. And then it's a place that was created for the devil and his angels. Let's look at some designations for hell. There's Sheol. Sheol is a place, that's a name that's given to hell. This word occurs 65 times in the Old Testament. It is translated grave, 31 times, hell 31 times, and the pit 31 times. The main idea for the word Sheol is a place of the dead. So whether it is in reference to the body or soul, it is a place for the dead. It is used for the righteous. So some of the righteous went to Sheol, right? And some of the unrighteous went to Sheol. But when the righteous went to this place of Sheol, you know, it wasn't a place of punishment. But when the unrighteous go there, that they actually go to a place of torture or torment. For the righteous and unrighteous, Sheol was another designation for the grave, right? So Sheol could mean the grave, but for the unrighteous, it was a place of torment and torture. So that, you know, we see that word Sheol being used. We see the word Hades being used. And so Hades was also another designation for the grave. So Sheol and Hades, it's almost like Sheol was the Old Testament concept and Hades is the New Testament concept, right? Sheol was a place of the dead, the grave. So all who died went to Sheol. They went to the grave, right? But furthermore, the unrighteous went to a place of suffering, and that was Sheol, right? In the New Testament, Hades was also a designation for the grave. So people that died went to Hades or the grave. However, the term was also used to refer to a place of torment. So in both cases, Sheol and Hades, it referred to a place of torment, right? It first referred to the grave, but then it referred to a place of torment, all right? And then there was a place called Gehenna, right? And this was actually a valley south of Jerusalem. It was the location where the Canaanites offered child sacrifices, the Valley of Gehenna. You know, when I was in Israel, we got a chance to see the Valley of Gehenna. During the time of Christ, it was a garbage dump outside Jerusalem. It was a place where garbage, dead animals, and the bodies of criminals were consumed in a fire that burned continuously. It was infested with maggots, and it had a horrendous smell. Jesus used it to depict the horrors of hell. He said it was a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So south of Jerusalem, there was a place where the fire always burned. And that's how they got rid of their garbage. You know, the garbage man came and he picked up my garbage this morning. They came by in a big truck and they threw all my garbage in the truck. And then they took it off to some landfill somewhere and dumped it. So they didn't have garbage trucks in Jesus' day. They didn't have landfills, so to speak. And so they just had a valley where there was a fire that was always burning. And that's where they took their garbage. That's how they disposed of their garbage. And so Jesus, when he wanted to talk about hell, he made the reference to Gehenna. And so everybody in Jerusalem would have known what he was talking about. Right. Everybody would have known when Jesus talked about Gehenna. Right. Everybody knew what he was referring to. And he said, what did he say? He said it was a place, you know, again, if you think about sometimes if flies get into your trash and on a hot day and then you open your can and you see all kind of maggots. Right. And so Jesus, you know, where this garbage was. You know, it was a place where the fire didn't die, but there was also, I guess, maybe some places where the flies got into where the garbage had not been burned. There was maggots, right? And so it was a place where the worm died not, and the fire is not quenched. And so Jesus depicted the reality of hell. And so, you know, again, somebody going to hell, they may have that sensation. They may have the sensation of, you know, eternal heat, you know, fire that you can't take, but you never die, right? Can you imagine that? To have that feeling of being burnt in fire and yet and still not dying, you know, that's why people come up with those other theories, right? It would just be easier to believe those other theories and say, well, you know, how could God just let somebody have that sensation or even be burned with fire and not die and just feel that for the eternity. Wow. You know, well, that's why we need to pray for the unsaved. That's why we need to witness to the unsaved so that they don't have to go to that place. Again, I tell people this all the time. If I was God, you know, I wouldn't do this. I can't fathom people spend an eternity in a place like this. But again, this is what the word of God says. And I'm just, don't shoot the mailman. Don't shoot the messenger. Don't click off of Zoom because of the messenger. this is what the word of God says. All right. And then there's a place called Tartarus. And this is found in 2 Peter 2:4. And according to Greek mythology, this is the place of the underworld. Peter described it as a place of darkness, you know, just eternal darkness. So I guess, you know, not only with the sensation of worms and fire, but, you know, just being in death-like darkness. Wow. You know, that's got to be terrifying. Now, I've been criticized, so let me do this. I don't know if I can do it. No, I can't. I can't do it on the Zoom. I was going to highlight it. I was going to bold it. I was going to underline it. I was going to underscore it, because people have said that, Pastor Glaze, you don't believe in hell, because I've never heard you teach on the lake of fire. Well, I'm telling y'all on the Zoom call, I believe in it and I teach on it. So here it is right here. John called it the lake of fire. The term was used to designate a place of consuming fire. Revelation 20:14. In Revelation 12, verses 1 and 2, it's called the bottomless pit. The Apostle John described a bottomless pit filled with smoke and darkness. Some Bible scholars believe the bottomless pit and Tartarus, and I didn't say tartar sauce, I said Tartarus, are the same place, while others see them as two different locations. We have a place, paradise, Abraham's bosom, and Hades. Some theologians believe in the two compartment theory. This is a theory. Let me see. I might even have a diagram of this. I think I have a, let me see. I might have a diagram. I'm not sure. Okay. No, I thought I had a diagram. I might have this. Let's see here. Okay. Yeah. Here we go right here. All right. So, some people believe in the two compartment theory. You remember Lazarus died in Luke 16 and he went to Abraham's bosom, paradise. And the rich man died, and where did he go? He went to Hades, a place of torment. So Lazarus was in a place of comfort, and the rich man was in a place of torment. And there was a great gulf fixed between the two. So this is what's called the two compartment theory. So you get a picture of it right there. You know, it's both. It's in a location. We're not sure where it's at, but it's in a location. And there seems to be a gap that separates these two places. One is Abraham's bosom, and the other one is Hades. So let's go back up here. Abraham's bosom and Hades. Some theologians believe in the two compartment theory. This theory advances the belief that before Christ ascended back to heaven, the souls of those who died either went to a place called paradise, again, Abraham's bosom, or a place called Hades. There's a great divide between these two locations, so that one cannot go from one to the other. One is a place of comfort, while other is a place of torment. The exact location of either place is unknown. Some have said they are located in the center of the earth, while others have identified their location somewhere in space. So that's what's known as the two compartment theory. So here we have designations for hell in the Bible: Sheol, Hades, Gehenna, Tartarus, the lake of fire, the bottomless pit, and the two compartment theory, Hades. So I laid a lot on y'all today. We got deep. You know, we went deep. And so I'm gonna finish this next week. You know, we might feel burdened down, and we need to lighten the load a little bit.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Hell, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Hell, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Hell, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Hell, Part 1 from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible Prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.